In an age when nature and magic rule the world, there is an extraordinary legend. The story of a warrior who communicates with animals, who fights sorcery and the unnatural. His name is Dar, last of his tribe. He's also called Beastmaster.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that did the thing. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Mike, no-hit wonder, Ahern.
Of course I'm not going to lose. Losing is so mainstream.
Gal, the German, Hazor.
Victory is going to float away from you like 99 Luftballons.
And Elon, prop plane Muscat.
Too close for quipping. I'm switching to puns.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for today's match. It is the Altair 4 Division Finals here in our eighth season. Today's winner will head on to our season finale, two episodes from now. Joining us, as always, in the Scoremaster chair, it's Scoremaster Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. My son just got back from seeing Cocaine Bear with his friends in the theater on opening weekend. He talked about it as if it was just the cinema experience of his life, and I can't help but feel like I have gone wrong as a parent somewhere, so I'm just going to be working through that during the show.
I'm sure many other kids listening to this think you did everything right as a parent and are jealous that you are not their parent for that exact reason, Dan. And also with us today, it's production master Dave. Hi, Dave.
I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm just crewman number 6. I'm expendable. I'm the guy in the episode who dies to prove the situation is serious. I gotta get out of here.
Well, I think that means it's time to start our first game of the day. It's a round of My Champion. Each one of our three players today has picked a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture. The catch? We pick the battle those champions are going to be fighting. Librarian and game developer Mike Ahern, who's your champion today?
My champion is the title character of the anime Violet Evergarden.
Pre-code movie fan and week-old marshmallow brought to life Gal Hazor, who is your champion?
My champion is Powdered Toast Man from the Ren and Stimpy show.
And Tired Dad, Elon Muscat, who have you got?
I've got Deep Blue from Al Gore's Fightin' Genius Time Commandos from Futurama.
All right, three very nerdy selections for our champion today. Scoremaster Dan is on judging duties. So let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, which champion is most likely to be cast in an upcoming sequel in the Expendables franchise? Mike, why is Violet Evergarden, from the anime of the same name, going to be cast in the next Expendables movie?
Violet's got this in the bag. First of all, she is literally a war hero. She already has the action bona fides and reputation necessary to be a part of this star-studded ensemble cast. Also, after the war, she took on the job as a professional letter writer and became very good at it. So I think, just in case she wasn't already being considered for it, she could write a very persuasive letter to convince them otherwise.
Thank you, Mike. Gal, why is Powdered Toast Man from the Ren and Stimpy show going to be most likely to be cast in an upcoming sequel to The Expendables?
Well, obviously, this is a very strong being. He's a superhero. He has big buff muscles like half of the Expendables. He can shoot raisins that can intercept airplanes. He can squirt croutons from his armpits. He is very, very strong. And also, he is toast. So not only is he expendable, he is perishable. To prove it, at the point where he holds in a burp out of manners, his head pops and a baboon eats it. So he is truly an expendable.
Thank you, Gal. All right, Elon, tell us why Deep Blue from Al Gore's Fighting Genius Time Commandos from Futurama is most likely to be cast in an upcoming sequel to The Expendables.
Now, I'll have you know I didn't know about this category in advance, so to choose something so perfect was just coincidence. I'm going to start by just pointing out he's already part of an action team, so he's really there on the ground floor with action. The second thing I'm going to point out is the late Nichelle Nichols, also part of the Fighting Genius Time Commandos, pointed out, even though it wasn't working, murder is all they're good at, So I think Deep Blue's, you know, skills at murder are going to really endear him, I think, to the Expendables crew. But I think third and most crucial, Deep Blue's cultural relevance is about 20 years in the past. And if there's ever something that makes him perfectly suited to blending in with the Expendables, it's the fact that the chess world has moved on from him, the AI world has moved on from him. And if that doesn't qualify him as a member of the Expendables, well, Deep Blue did his best.
Thank you, Elon. All right, three pretty solid arguments, but ultimately it's up to Scoremaster Dan to determine the winner. Dan, who's it going to be?
So, Taylor, I got to admit, going into this, I thought Powdered Toast Man had this sewn up, right? This is a muscle-bound idiot superhero from the 90s. And I think, well, that's obvious. It's obviously going to be him. But Gal didn't make the nostalgia argument. I think there's part of this, right? You have to get two parts of the Expendables. It has to be something, yes, an action star and not at all culturally relevant to today. So Gal missed out on that argument. So let's throw in the wild card here, Mike and Violet Evergarden. I mean, yeah, so it is an action star, probably a lot more thoughtful than anyone in the Expendables. And while I like the argument, I gotta say, if you had actually thrown in Dietfried Bougainvillea instead, you would have won just on name, because I would have absolutely put Dietfried Bougainvillea in anything, just so I could say Dietfried Bougainvillea as many times as possible. So now we've got Powdered Toast Man, who's probably, you know, the better fit, versus Deep Blue, who doesn't seem like a good fit. But Elon did make the argument about, you know, the cultural relevance and the fact that this is something from a long time ago. And I can only base it on the arguments that are made to me. So I think our winner today has to be Elon and Deep Blue.
Yay! It turns out all problems can be solved with chess.
Deep Blue, the Kelsey Grammer of this up-and-coming Expendables that we're theorizing about. Absolutely. Congratulations, Elon. You have won my champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question correct, and you will have half a point to your name before we even start round one. Here is your half point question. The Expendables franchise has Sylvester Stallone and Dolph Lundgren, among many other big-name action stars. What 1985 film was the first to feature both Stallone and Lundgren?
Well, I hope I'm not going to outthink myself. I'm not going to overthink this. I'm going to say it's Rocky IV, because if it's not, then I just don't know.
It is Rocky IV. Absolutely correct. You have won the half point, and you're also going to get to go first in round one, title bouts. While movies and TV shows often rely on books, comics, and short stories for their plots, the adaptations often change the names of the source material. Can you identify the property from the name of the original work? We'll give you a brief description of the movie or TV show along with the title of the original book or story. You name the movie or TV show. So, for instance, if we told you about a 1989 property called Shoeless Joe, in which an Iowa farmer hears voices, you'd know the resulting movie was called
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is correct. That answer would get you 10 points. If you need more help, I can tell you the name of a star of that property, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Let's kick it off with our My Champion winner, Elon. From the year 1964, The End of the World is played as farce in Red Alert.
1964, movie with the end of the world. 1964, end of the world. Well, I'm going to say it's not Failsafe. I'm going to guess it's Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Love that full complete title. 10 points to Elon. Next to Mike, a 1983 property. A boy tries to convince his parents to get him a certain gift in God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash.
Okay, yes, this is, yeah, I just want to make sure I get the, do definite versus indefinite articles count as the difference between correct and incorrect answers here?
We'll find out.
I believe this is A Christmas Story.
Indefinite article on that is correct. A Christmas Story. Very good. Next to Gal, from the year 1995. An ex-Marine comes to an inner-city school in My Posse Don't Do Homework.
My Posse Don't Do Homework. I'm not gonna guess. Give me a hint, please.
Starring Michelle Pfeiffer.
Dangerous Minds.
Yes, Dangerous Minds is correct for 5. Next, back to Elon from the year 2015. a troubled private investigator navigates a world of superheroes in Alias.
Alias. So I know why they couldn't use the original title, because people expected to see Jennifer Garner instead of Kristen Ritter. This is Jessica Jones.
Yes, one of the Netflix Marvel shows. Over to Mike from the year 2015 as well. Kate Blanchett is stunning in the period romantic drama The Price of Salt.
I believe this is Carol?
Yes, based on the Patricia Highsmith novel. Over to Gal from the year 1982. Scientists get real paranoid with good reason in Who Goes There?
Who goes there? So, what is there? 1982. The Thing?
Good for 10. Next to Elon from the year 1988. A cop is outgunned and on the wrong coast in Nothing Lasts Forever.
Nothing Lasts Forever. Okay, I'll do a little bit of thought process, but I'm pretty sure it's Die Hard.
That was the thought process? I was expecting some sort of...
there was the building and it's burning down, and it was the detective was the first movie and all the Frank Sinatra.
Yes, yes. Thank you for stepping on the extra piece of context I was going to provide after you said Die Hard. But yes, Die Hard is correct. Next, over to Mike from the year 2014. A man has to repeat the same day again and again in All You Need Is Kill.
Okay, yeah, this was changed multiple times. So, I believe this is Edge of Tomorrow. And the DVD being Live, Die, Repeat.
Absolutely correct. Next, over to Gal from the year 1991. A released criminal stalks the lawyer who defended him in The Executioners.
Released lawyers. Can I get a hint, please?
Starring Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro, 1991. Cape Fear?
That's good for 5, which will take us into our first score break from Scoremaster Dan.
You know, Taylor, we haven't had a wrong answer yet.
Wow.
Gal has had to use his hints twice, though, so he's got 20 points. Mike is ahead with 30, and solely by virtue of the half point, Elon is in the lead with 30 points and the half point.
Great start to the game for everybody. Let's kick it back to Elon. This property from the year 1939. A naive man is thrust into the corrupt upper reaches of government in The Gentleman from Montana.
I just want to make sure I got the last name right. And I'm going to guess Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
Yes, based on an unpublished story, The Gentleman from Montana. Next over to Mike. We're in the year 1984. A boy and his imaginary friend, a super spy, go on the run in The Boy Cried Murder.
Imaginary friend, super spy. That sounds vaguely familiar, but I can't place it. Could I have the hint, please?
Starring Dabney Coleman.
That does not help. Okay, this is wrong. I'm just going to say The Goonies.
We're talking Cloak and Dagger, that adaptation of The Boy Cried Murder, the third filmed adaptation of that story. Next, over to Gal, in the year 1988. A drifter discovers an invisible alien invasion in 8 o'clock in the morning.
Drifter discovers alien invasion in 1988. I would like a hint this time as well.
Starring Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Ooh, I know of that thing. It exists. It has a city name inside, I think.
Need an answer?
I don't know. Escape from LA.
Mike?
Is this They Live?
They Live from John Carpenter. Next, over to Elon. We're in the year 2011. Retirees converge on a hotel that's less luxurious than they were told in These Foolish Things.
So, I'm gonna... I'm super not sure about this. And I guess that's what the hint's for. So I'm gonna take a hint.
Starring Judi Dench.
Well, I know they made a sequel, so I'm gonna hope it's not the sequel. The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel?
Yes, the first one. The novel does not have a sequel, but the movie does. Over to Mike from the year 2005. A woman hires an escort to pose as her boyfriend at her sister's wedding in Asking for Trouble.
I guess my streak of luck has ended here. Could I have a hint, please?
Starring Deborah Messing.
Again, does not help. This is a name I have heard of, but I couldn't name a thing that she was in. I'll say The Proposal.
This title is The Wedding Date with Deborah Messing. And our last one is for Gal from the year 2007. Military spouses band together to find solace from uncertainty in Under the Sabres.
Military spouses. I think there was a show about that. But, hint, please.
Starring Catherine Bell.
Catherine Bell. You know, as soon as Dan said that there were no wrong answers yet, I felt the jinx upon me.
That's how it works.
Same.
Yeah, Catherine, I don't know, The Hurt Locker.
Directed by Catherine Belgalo. No, this is a TV show, like you were sort of hinting at. This is called Army Wives. Army Wives.
See, you didn't give Gala John Carpenter this time, and that's what probably threw him.
Yes,
John Carpenter's Army Wives, maybe.
Well, that'll do it for round one. Up next, the scores from Dan, and on to round two.
Going to round two, it's time for the Russ Meyer's Vixen score break. Russ Meyer's Vixen. I don't care what Roger Ebert thinks, that is not appropriate behavior for a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. At this point, Elon's lead with 50 points and the half point. Mike's got 30. Gal is trailing with just 20 points. That means he gets to go first in round two.
It also means Gal gets a chance to make up some ground with... the Threequalizer. Gal, I'm about to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You're going to have three guesses to match as many of those three answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each correct answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. In movie history, there have been 16 sequels that outperformed the previous movie in their series at the worldwide box office by $500 million or more. Three of them came out in 2015. Those 2015 movies are, respectively, the fourth, seventh, and seventh films in their series. Name those three movies that outperformed their previous installment by $500 million or more.
Oh boy. 2015. What was I doing in 2015? What was I watching? It has to be some kind of Marvel thing, but okay. Avengers Age of Ultron? No, okay. Maybe another Avengers, but I'll pass over. The Hangover 3? No, okay. Last one, gotta make it count. Look Who's Talking Now!
No points on the Threequalizer 2, Gal. Elon looks like he has a guess at maybe a couple of these.
And Mike has a guess, too.
All right. Is one of them Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1?
A 2010 release there.
Is one of them Creed?
Creed's a good guess, but I don't think Creed made it quite to $500 million at all worldwide, much less outgrossing Rocky Balboa. In this case, we're talking Jurassic World, making quite a bit more than Jurassic Park 3. We have Star Wars The Force Awakens, making, you know, the most money of any movie ever at the domestic box office. And last, Furious 7. As though Fast and Furious 6 wasn't big enough, Furious 7, absolutely enormous, grossing way more. So, unfortunately, no points scored in the threequelizer for Gala, but let's see if he can do a little bit better in round two, Forgotten Sequels to The Quickening. While sequels and franchises dominate Hollywood, not every attempt at creating a franchise goes over well. In this game, we'll describe a mostly forgotten sequel to a well-known film. You figure out what the original was. So, for instance, if we told you that the 2009 sequel to this 2001 cult sci-fi movie is centered on the Sparkle Motion member slash younger sister of the main character from the original, and it includes time loops, but unlike the original, makes less sense the more you think about it, you'd know we were talking about a sequel to
Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko, that sequel is titled S. Darko, a Donnie Darko tale. That would get you 20 points. If you need some help, you can ask for a hint, but then a correct answer is only worth 10. Afterwards, you'll have the chance to earn another 10 points with a related follow-up question. Let's start it off with Gal. A 2005 sequel to this 1992 thriller has a young woman killing all the people she feels have wronged her new roommate.
Okay, let's see if I can turn my fortunes. Basic Instinct.
Love that guess. In this case, though, Elon maybe knows this one.
The title would be Double White Female, would it?
You're right in that it is indeed a sequel to Single White Female. This is called Single White Female 2, colon, The Psycho. Still for Gal, the original Single White Female is set at an apartment building called The Ansonia on Broadway in Manhattan. The same building was later used as the title building of this 2012 ABC series, though they had to relocate it to Park.
Seems like a lot of work for a TV show.
Yeah.
And Sonia. There's no hint for the follow-up, right?
That is correct. No hints on the follow-up.
Crushing blow for me. Pass.
This show was with Terry O'Quinn and Vanessa Williams, 666 Park Avenue. Guys, something weird's going on in this building. Next up, over to Mike. The animated 2004 sequel to a live-action 2003 movie has the title character of the original, Jackie Legs, kidnapped. He winds up causing havoc in Las Vegas.
Jackie Legs? My God, if this is right, this isn't Kangaroo Jack, is it?
It is the animated sequel, Kangaroo Jack, colon, G'day USA. 20 points to Mike.
I have a question about Kangaroo Jack. If you go to search for Kangaroo Jack music, you can find the soundtrack to it. But then more of the results are just like explicit rap songs pretending to be from the soundtrack of Kangaroo Jack, like Snoop Dogg, what? Dr. Dre. They're all over YouTube. I don't understand. It's like a joke that somebody has played very successfully with Google SEO, and I'm kind of impressed by it. Search Kangaroo Jack songs and, you know, get the kids out of the room and have a listen.
Amazing. Still for Mike, in Kangaroo Jack, Jerry O'Connell's character hallucinates the kangaroo singing Rapper's Delight by this seminal hip-hop group.
That would be the Sugar Hill Gang.
Correct for 10.
That's not one of the songs I'm talking about. That was okay.
The famously explicit Rapper's Delight. Next, over to Elon. A 2006 sequel to a 2000 sci-fi horror movie has an assassin looking for a cure to the deadly side effects of the treatment that made him invisible.
2000 horror movie, and he's invisible, and so that makes me think it's Hollow Man, and I don't have any other ideas, so I'm going to say Hollow Man.
Correct, Hollow Man 2, starring Christian Slater. Still for Elon, Hollow Man was the first American film from this director to get an R rating upon its initial submission to the MPAA.
I just had the name of the director sitting in my head, and then it went away. And it's a German director, and it's not Verhoeven, and maybe it is Verhoeven. He's Dutch. I'm going to say Verhoeven.
That was a journey.
Isn't that weird? He's Paul Verhoeven. Yeah. Back to Gal.
Good transition.
Thank you. I've only gotten better as the years have gone on.
Yeah.
Next up to Gal. A 1995 TV movie sequel to this 1990 comedy movie is the third in the series. The title character is back as a tween who fights with three boys over the affections of a girl who doesn't notice him.
Okay, one more time as Verhoeven.
I mean, my Verhoeven is basically just gold members.
Do
so.
It, do it, do it, or we're not continuing. Okay.
A 1995 movie sequel to this 1990 comedy movie is the third in the series. The title character is back as a tween who fights with three boys over the affections of a girl who doesn't notice him. Okay. My apologies to everyone from the Netherlands.
Yeah, it's like 500 kilometers from offending me, so...
Oh, great.
Okay, so... 1990 movie is a comedy, you say? Mm-hmm.
There are hints okay. for the first part of the question.
Okay, okay. Yes. Okay. Hint me, please.
In the original, John Ritter played the father role. In the third one, we're on to William, the greatest American hero, Cat.
Hmm. John Ritter. I've no idea. My Girl.
Elon?
I thought they made sequels, but is this Problem Child?
Problem Child 3, Junior in Love, yes. Still for Gal, in the original Problem Child, the depth of Junior's misbehavior is underscored with this George Thorogood song.
Okay, I haven't seen the movie, but I only know one George. I only know one George Thorogood song, which I think is the only one that everyone knows. Bed to the Bone.
Good for another 10
points.
If it's any consolation, Gal, neither have I. I saw Dan's what?
It's on my list.
It really shouldn't be. It's not a good movie at all. Don't.
So it's definitely on my list.
Next up, over to Mike. This 1986 TV movie sequel to a 1970 Best Picture winner follows the title character in his role as the governor of Bavaria.
Ooh, okay. Interesting. What won Best Picture in 1970, or technically in a 1971 ceremony, I'm sure.
Mike, are you privy to every conversation we ever have about the Oscars behind the scenes of the show where we have to denote that exact thing?
I remember this coming up once, but you mean the film was released in 1970, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Of course, if this was a 2010s Best Picture winner, I would be all over it, but 1970 is a little less in my wheelhouse. And all I can say is that this is presumably set in Germany, so what is the hint?
You gotta think this only exists because they could get George C. Scott to come back for the title role.
George C. Scott. I know that name. But wait a minute. I may have a huge gap in my historical knowledge that I didn't know about. Is this Patton?
Yes, 1986 is The Last Days of Patton. Mike, this U.S. president loved the original Patton and would frequently screen it in the White House before making major foreign policy decisions.
This sounds like something Reagan would do. Is it Reagan?
Is Richard Nixon, in fact.
Makes sense. More contemporary.
Yeah, he would apparently, before making big decisions about Vietnam, he would get a bottle of scotch and put on Patton in the White House screening room and just down it and then make his decisions.
Wow.
All right, we are back to Elon. The 1996 TV movie sequel to this 1982 fantasy movie, it's the third in the series, has Dar's younger brother captured and the title character seeking out the Eye of Braxis.
Okay, well, I'm going to call back to the opening episode hint and say it is the Beastmaster.
He's also called Beastmaster.
Beastmaster 3, the Eye of Braxis, yes. Elon, in 2015, Mark Singer showed up on this CW show, playing a corrupt general who is tortured by the show's billionaire superheroic lead.
Well, my knowledge of CW superhero mid-teen shows is a little better than it should be because The Flash was good for so long. And so the one that was a billionaire was Arrow, I think.
Yes, Beastmaster's Mark Singer popping up on Arrow. Next up, we are back to Gal. The 2006 sequel to this 1995 techno thriller finds a woman having been hacked, her identity stolen, and accused of murder in Istanbul.
Okay, 1995 techno thriller. Well, it should be easy because here in Germany we love techno. Is it Johnny Mnemonic?
In this case, we are talking about the 2006 sequel to The Net. It is entitled The Net 2.0. Still for Gal. At the beginning of The Net, Sandra Bullock's character is debugging the Apple version of this seminal id Software first-person shooter.
Seminal first-person shooter... Doom?
Doom. Gal crushing the follow-ups today. Next up, back to Mike. A 2007 sequel to a 1995 movie has a scientist taking his niece to Mexico to try and reverse the effects of the alien DNA he used to create her. But things go awry when the niece succumbs to the alien impulse to find a mate.
Oh, God. All right, so original movie was 95, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Scientist who created his own niece using alien DNA... does not sound like a familiar premise. Could I have the hint, please?
The fourth movie in the series is the first of them to not feature Natasha Henstridge at all.
But yeah, the name is not familiar to me, so this is not going to be... I know this is incorrect, but I will just say Men in Black.
Natasha Henstridge, star of the original Species, with this installment being Species: The Awakening. Still for Mike, the creature in Species was designed by this artist, best known for his work on the Alien franchise.
I don't know any behind-the-camera personnel involved on Alien besides Ridley Scott, so I am going... Well, I'll say Ridley Scott just in case he was also the art director, but I doubt it.
Elon?
This is probably H.R. Giger.
Yes, the Swiss artist H.R. Giger.
I have heard that name.
Next up, we are back to Elon. The third sequel to this 1998 movie came out in 2010. In it, the son of a murdered hotel magnate gets entangled with a group of three seductive but murderous young women.
So 1998 is the original, 2010 is the third sequel, and three murderous women. There's not enough info here for my brain to latch onto, so I'm going to ask for the hint, please.
Gillian Murray and Marnette Patterson are no Neve Campbell and Denise Richards, but the later sequels definitely don't have Bill Murray.
Oh, so Bill Murray's in it. Well, so there's definitely some Kevin Bacon involved stuff in this question. This is Wild Things.
Yes, with the fourth one being called Wild Things Foursome. Very classy title. Next for Elon, at the same time she was making Wild Things, Neve Campbell was also starring on this Fox show.
Party of Five.
That correct answer will take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Well, Gal's been having some trouble with this category, probably because he's been doing good things with this time rather than watching terrible direct-to-video sequels to formerly good movies. He's got 40 points. Mike is a little ahead with 70. Elon has been running away with it so far. He's got 130 points and the half point.
All right, see if Gal and Mike can rally in the last part of round two. This next one is for Gal. A 2002 sequel to a 1989 movie has the lead detective from the first two movies finally retiring. But when his unconventional partner swallows some computer chips at a crime scene, they're drawn into a criminal conspiracy.
Ooh, okay. 1989. It's definitely not Do the Right Thing. Hint me again, please.
Jim Belushi is still the lead, though his character, bafflingly, has a different first name. They had to get a new actor to play the partner, though. Rando, who played Jerry Lee in the original, had died.
Oof, okay. Jim Belushi, I've seen him in things. I don't know. I think it's something with an ampersand. Turner and Hooch and Company. I don't know.
Turner and Hooch is the closest possible wrong answer. It's the other one, though. It's K-9. K-9. Still dog partnered with a cop. Still for Gal, in K-9, Belushi is shown playing a video game called Manhole on a Game & Watch device made by this company.
Sony?
Mike?
I'm the game developer. I better know this one. Game & Watch is a Nintendo device.
Correct. Mike, we're back to you. The 2009 sequel to a 2000 sex comedy has a group of college students on a long trip in a party bus en route to a national beer pong tournament.
All right. Sex comedy is also not my strong suit. Before going for the hint, is there... I mean, there's... Could be. I have a feeling it's whatever franchise that Eurotrip was in, but I thought Eurotrip was itself the sequel to maybe something maybe just called Road Trip. I'm not confident enough to go... Well, actually, I need to make up some ground. Let's say Road Trip.
What a journey.
Whew, full 20 for Mike. That was amazing.
I needed to make up the ground.
There you go. Mike, the poster for Road Trip prominently features this MTV personality known for gross stunts, even though he only plays a small role in the film.
Would that be Tom Green?
All over that Road Trip poster, Tom Green. Back to Elon. In this 1999 sequel to a 1997 thriller, a flight full of people confronting their fear of flying gets hijacked by terrorists.
So 1997 was the original. I'm feeling like it's not Air Force One. But in 1999, there's another hijacking. Passenger 57 is what's sort of creeping into my brain, but I'm going to ask for the hint.
In the original, Lauren Holly had to outwit terrorists and land the plane. In the sequel, they got Jennifer Beals, so, you know, could be worse.
Lauren Holly? So all I'm thinking of is, like, Dumb and Dumber. And she had to land the plane. Okay, I'm going to say Passenger 57.
In this case, we are talking Turbulence and the sequel Turbulence 2, Fear of Flying. Elon, 2001's Turbulence 3, Heavy Metal, features terrorists hijacking a plane that's live streaming this kind of event over the internet.
Well, it's called Heavy Metal, so I'm just going to guess it's like an Iron Maiden concert, a rock concert.
We'll take Rock Concert for another 10. Last forgotten sequel for each player. This one is for Gal. The 2002 sequel to a 1998 action horror movie has a different vampire hunter hired by a shady priest to take out the vampire nest that has found the legendary black crucifix from the original.
Okay, I gotta get some points here. Blade.
Blade is a great guess, but in this case, we're talking about a different 1998 vampire movie. This is Vampires, just called Vampires.
Of course.
Now, Gal, by most measures, the original Vampires is this storied director's most financially successful film of the 1990s.
story director. Okay, story director who did a movie in 1998 called Vampires. Okay, how many story directors I know who lived in 1998? Definitely not Ilya Kazan. No, he actually lived in 1998. I don't know, Scorsese?
Hold on, Gal. Who did we keep asking you about by pure random chance in round one?
I don't remember. I try to suppress the bad memories.
Elon, who directed the original Vampires?
And who directed They Live? And who directed The Thing? Poor Gal. This is John Carpenter's revenge.
Oh yeah.
John Carpenter, correct.
Of course, Karen's brother.
Sorry, I just want to cut in here. We didn't get a chance to comment on it, but the Turbulence movies, I just want to look at the escalation, right? So Turbulence 2, it's people who are afraid of flying, and they get hijacked. In Turbulence 3, there's a rock concert from an airplane, and that gets hijacked. This is the most, the original was not great, but come on. Like, you got to respect the Asylum Films style, you know, escalation they're doing here.
That sounds cool.
All right, we are back to Mike. A 1990 sequel to a 1982 original has the same basic plot, with a nerdy guy getting superpowers and then using them to harass bullies and carry out multiple felonies that we'd rather not talk about.
Okay, this is one of two things, I think. And I'm guessing since you use the word nerdy, it's not Revenge of the Nerds. Is this Weird Science?
This one even more low rent. Elon, what is it?
I only know about this because of like the premiere magazine that came with First Choice Super Channel. I think this is called Zapped again.
It is the original with Scott Baio in there. Now still for Mike, a 2014 Disney Channel original, also called Zapped, has nothing to do with these movies. Instead, it has this star of several Spider-Man movies discovering that a dog training app on her phone can control boys.
Okay, star of several Spider-Man movies in a Disney Channel original. Going to guess, is this Zendaya?
Zendaya, we'll take it. And closing out the round with Elon. The R-rated 1997 sequel to a 1986 movie has the male lead of the original going back to Paris to look for his ex, where he instead gets entangled with her friend.
1997 sequel, goes back to Paris. I wouldn't think this is it's not Before Sunrise, Before Midnight. And it's also not Wings of Desire. Okay, I'm going to ask for the hint, please.
Mickey Rourke is in this sequel, but they wound up with Angie Everhart instead of Kim Basinger.
Ah, this is Another 9.5 Weeks, the sequel to 9.5 Weeks.
Yes. Still for Elon, the soundtrack for 9.5 Weeks included the song I Do What I Do by John Taylor, who did the song while on a break from this A View to a Kill band.
A View to a Kill. With A View to a Kill. Aha!
Aha did the Living Daylights Bond theme. A View to a Kill was Duran Duran, John Taylor being the bass player from Duran Duran. And that'll do it for round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to our final round. Before the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by the time next episode comes out, and you can win the chance to name a score break right here on the show. Let's hear it, Dan.
A tale of a boy with no fears and a quest for a mother's warm tears. The ending's so strange. Under a Ferris wheel, he gets changed? With beings not of this world, it appears.
Think you know the answer? Then head to usaquizshow.com/riddle to submit that answer and win that prize. Then check when we post the answer in just about a week's time over on our social media. We're at USA Quiz Show on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. Let's hear a score update.
After two rounds of play, it's time for the Joe Millionaire Season 3 score break. Joe Millionaire Season 3. Look, I know we're bringing back every moderately successful show from 20 years ago, but do we have to bring back every moderately successful show from 20 years ago? Right now, Elon is in the lead with 150 points and the half point. Mike is on his tail with 110. Gal is trailing with just 40, but that means he'll get to go first in round three.
And see if he can make up some ground in the lightning round. In this round, players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Carrie, Charlotte, Miranda, and Samantha. Now, those topics are a little mysterious from their names, so pick the thing you think you're going to be able to do the best on. Or perhaps you want to keep something that sounds easy away from one of your fellow players. Gal, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are Carrie, Charlotte, Miranda, and Samantha.
Well, all four category names are equally clear to me. I think I would go with Carrie.
Carrie, do you have a guess as to where this is going to go?
Yeah, Carrie was a big hit in the 80s for the hair metal band Europe, so it's got to be a question where the answers are European countries.
That's a great idea. We should do that. But in this case, we're talking about Carrie spelled K-E-R-I, not like Miss Bradshaw, because we're talking about Carrie Russell. So this is all about the roles of actress Carrie Russell. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Gal, are you ready?
Of course.
Russell is largely unrecognizable under a mask as Zori Bliss in this 2019 sci-fi sequel.
Pass.
Russell starred with Dan Cortese in a 1996 TV version of this author's story, The Lottery.
O. Henry.
Shirley Jackson. Russell's family is threatened by aliens in this 2013 film.
Cowboys versus Aliens.
Dark Skies. In The Americans, Russell's main cover is working with her husband at this type of business.
A deli.
Travel agency. Sarah Bareilles wrote the music and lyrics for the stage adaptation of this film.
Pass.
In a 2013 Jerusha Hess romantic comedy, Russell's character is obsessed with this British author.
Charlotte Bronte.
Jane Austen. In Felicity, she follows Ben to attend college in this city.
Cleveland.
New York. J.C. Chazet from this band had a lead role with Russell in the 1993 series Emerald Cove.
NSYNC.
She has a role in this New Jersey musician's 1994 video for Always.
Bon Jovi or John Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi right at the buzzer. All right, Gal, a couple correct answers near the end there. Let's hear the Gal report.
See, Taylor, Gal got the important ones, the ones about New Jersey, correct. And so I think that's, you know, should be worth, that's extra Dan points. That's important stuff. Russell's largely unrecognizable in her mask playing Zori Bliss in Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. And Sarah Bareilles wrote the music and lyrics for the stage adaptation of Waitress. Those are the passes. Gal got two correct answers. He now has 60 points, finishing in third place. Mike is up next. He has 110. He'll need five correct answers in order to pull in the lead.
All right, Mike. Three category choices left for you. They are Charlotte, Miranda, and Samantha.
All right. I had three different ideas for what Charlotte could be, and I'm going to pick Charlotte on the hopes that it is about pop culture spiders.
That's a great, great category choice as well. You guys are smarter than we are on some of this stuff. But in this case, we are actually talking about movies and TV shows filmed in or around Charlotte, North Carolina. So that mid-Atlantic range.
That was actually my second guess.
All right, 90 seconds on the clock. Mike, are you ready?
Let's do this.
He has the role of Cole Trickle in Days of Thunder.
Pass.
A Walk to Remember borrowed many sets from this WB teen drama.
Dawson's Creek.
In Bull Durham, he stars opposite Kevin Costner as star pitcher Nuke LaLoosh.
Pass.
This Charles Frazier bestseller was adapted into a Nicole Kidman drama.
Pass.
this Ashley Judd starring Alex Cross mystery filmed in Durham in Chapel Hill.
Pass.
In Talladega Nights, Will Ferrell plays this title role.
Ricky Bobby.
A character in this HBO comedy says about their in-laws, they're from Asheville, they hate God.
Pass.
In Maximum Overdrive, a menacing truck has the head of this Spider-Man villain on the grill.
The Green Goblin.
In Matlock, this Three's Company actor plays neighbor Ace Calhoun.
Pass.
Parts of a train bus wreck from this 1993 hit are still visible on the Great Smoky Mountain Railroad.
Speed?
The Fugitive. A Diane Lane starring Nicholas Sparks adaptation was set in this Outer Banks village.
Pass.
This How I Met Your Mother star stars with Julianne Hough in Safe Haven.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Kobe Smulders. On the Fox series Sleepy Hollow, Tom Meeson plays a version of this Washington Irving character.
Ichabod Crane.
The 2019 DC series based on this character was canceled before the second episode aired.
Pass.
As an adaptation of Swamp Thing, failing in 2019. All right, Dan, let's hear the mic report.
All right, let's go over passes first. It was Tom Cruise who played the memorably named Cole Trickle in Days of Thunder, the lead role. In Bull Durham, Tim Robbins plays the also memorably named Nuke Lelouch. Nuke Lelouch. Lelouch. I feel like David Letterman in the 80s. The Charles Frazier bestseller is adapted into Nicole Kidman drama is Cold Mountain. The Ashley Judd starring Alex Cross mystery was Kiss the Girls. If we're in North Carolina and people are talking about people who love or hate God, this is, of course, The Righteous Gemstones. Don Knotts is the neighbor on Three's Company. And the Nicholas Sparks adaptation, boy, a lot of Nicholas Sparks in this round. The Nicholas Sparks adaptation with Diane Lane is Knights in Rodanthe. So it is Rodanthe is the Outer Banks village. You can tell if someone's been there because they put the little OBX on the back of their car. It's required by law. Mike had 4 correct answers, so he is very close lead with 150. However, that half point means that Elon has 150 points and the half point. So this is all for the glory for Elon.
And just like that, Elon has just 2 category choices left. They are Miranda and Samantha.
No, Elon, don't get on that bike. Don't do it.
Okay, so like either it's Samantha and it's all about Kim Cattrall from her Star Trek roles, or it's Miranda, it's all about USS Miranda, the Miranda-class Reliant ship.
Yeah, probably.
So of those 2 Star Trek categories, I'm going to try the Miranda category.
As much as I'd love to tell you this is a Star Trek category, it is not. In this case, this is going to be about TV shows that have Miranda warnings, aka police procedurals. So this is going to be all about TV police procedurals. 90 seconds on the clock. Elon, are you ready?
Just took it to my vein.
Donnie Wahlberg is part of the Reagan clan on this CBS show.
Blue Bloods?
According to the pilot of CSI, this city has the 2nd busiest crime lab in the U.S.
Las Vegas?
If Sasha Alexander is Maura Isles, then this Law & Order actor is Jane Rizzoli.
Law & Order Rizzoli. Carrie Lowell?
Angie Harmon. This 2011 Muriel Enos show moved from AMC to Netflix.
Pass.
In The Rookie, this castle star joins the LAPD.
Nathan Fillion.
Cary Wells plays a detective with an almost perfect memory on this 2011 procedural.
Pass.
He is the only actor to appear in every episode of NYPD Blue.
Sipowitz, Sipowitz. What is Sipowitz's name? I'm not going to figure out Sipowitz's name, so pass.
Cold Case is based in this eastern U.S. city.
Boston?
Philadelphia. This Watergate conspirator and radio host played a bad guy on Miami Vice.
G. Gordon Liddy?
Given his role on this show, it's ironic that David Krumholtz failed algebra twice in high school.
Number 3ers.
The long-running NCIS is a spinoff of this 1995 Catherine Bell show.
JAG.
In this 1981 show, the MTM Kitty wears a police cap after the end credits.
Hill Street Blues?
The 2010 revival of this Jack Lord show ran for 10 years and 240 episodes.
Maybe Dragnet.
is the reboot of Hawaii Five-0. All right, Dan, let's hear the Elon report and our final scores.
Come on, Elon. The revival of Dragnet with Ed O'Neill only ran for 2 seasons. The second season, they had to retitle it. That only ran for like 30 episodes. What are you
thinking?
Thinking
of the movie where Tom Hanks raps the Miranda rights. So
let's go through the passes first. The 2011 Muriel Eno show that everyone liked until it turned out they weren't going to tell us who the killer was is The Killing. Cary Wells plays a detective with an almost perfect memory in Unforgettable, which ran for many more seasons than anyone actually thinks it should have. It is my favorite example of the occupational irony narrative. See, she can remember everything, except the one person who attacked her. And Sipowicz, of course, was played by Dennis Franz. Elon didn't need to get any correct, but he did anyway, getting 7 correct. That means our final scores are Gal with 60, Mike with 150, and Erwin with 220 points and the half point. It's Elon.
Woo! Elon, congratulations.
Congratulations, Elon. Congrats to Elon on another victory, and a big thank you to Gal and Mike for joining us again. Real challenging game here in the playoffs, and you both performed admirably. Before we go, though, Mike, where can our listeners find, see more of you online?
So I make video games. If you like short experimental games made for competitions where you have to make a game from start to finish in 48 hours, check out my page at birdwards.itch.io. That's birdwards, W-A-R-D-S.itch.io.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike. And Gal, where can our listeners find more of you?
I'm on Twitter at DK Hayes. I'm on Mastodon, if you ever tried that, at galhz at mastodon.online. I have a blog. The URL is idontenjoythisither.wordpress.com, where you can see me be wrong about culture in writing as well.
Thank you, Gal. And Elon, anything you'd like to point our listeners towards?
Well, don't look up Elon Musk on Twitter. Even if you're at Elon Musk at, it'll only end in tears. And I don't have anything to plug right now. Just try to be nice to each other. It's hard out there.
Thank you, Elon. And you can also follow Elon as the small airplane emoji over on our Season 8 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the Genesis Division Finals, and then the episode after that where Elon returns to compete in our Super Mondo Champion of Champions Season 8 finale match. Elon is already the Kelly Clarkson of our podcast, but will he become the Chris Allen of our podcast? Only time will tell. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan, Production Master Dave, Gal, Mike, and Elon, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. A woman hires an escort to poise... Bleh.